It's really exciting. We just got our very first voice message from Josh Ryan, and he asked us a great question, and we're just going to listen into this question.
Hey, y'all. With both of you having such large followings on social media, how do you engage with your audience on a personal level without eating too much into your work time or like going crazy from your phone blowing up with notifications?
Thank you, Josh, for this amazing question. You know
Josh well,
right?
Yes. Josh is one of my Passion to Paid students, my Passion Project class, and he helps to moderate the Facebook group now because he did so well in the class. So thank you for submitting the question, Josh. We were chatting before this that you posted about, you know, we're accepting questions. I posted about we're accepting questions just to my Facebook group too. And I thought we were going to get more questions, but we got one. And you know what? One is better than none. And we're going to start where we start. And I'm sure we'll get more down the road. But it brings us to an interesting point, though, that you didn't think we were going to get a lot of questions anyways.
Well, that's
my expectations were different.
Exactly. So depending on what expectation you had, you are either excited or you're not. And it's a great point to look at that as well. We should answer the question, but I would just want to quickly explain how you can actually send us a question. You can use Anchor app. So it's called anchor.fm. It's a company that's supported by Spotify. And you can just download the app on iOS or probably Android Play as well. And then when you get into the app, you can actually go to the podcast and then click on send a voice message. So that voice message will be recorded. I think you will be able to re-record or change the recording if you want to. But then you can submit that and we'll receive that. We'll get a notification. So that was the notification that I woke up to. And I saw his message and I'm like so excited. I just listened into it and I'm like, this is a great question. I'm excited to talk about that with Lauren. And we're really excited about putting that into the podcast. So if anyone else has a question to ask, whatever it is, we will look into that. We would love to hear your voice. We'll love to hear your questions and help you answer these.
Yeah, it's kind of like calling into a non-live radio show. And so you can ask us anything that's on your mind about, you know, running a creative business or making art. Yeah, I believe I tested this out. You can also go to the podcast on Anchor on your desktop too and just record straight from your computer. So you just need to record an audio file of your question and it'll submit it straight through the website or the app.
That is amazing. I didn't know that. That's cool.
A barrier of entry actually is that you have to sign up for an Anchor account in order to be able to send questions. That's why I didn't submit it. Oh,
so
shoot.
There's only 3% of the people who listen to our podcast right now. So those are big numbers that we can throw around. But those are 3% that listen it on Anchor, which could explain why we're not getting so many questions on Anchor, because most people listen it on Spotify till we have it up on all the other platforms. Mm. But we might not have to include that in.
Maybe we should have people email us. We'll figure it out. It's cool. Josh, thank you for asking a question via Anchor. We're so excited to answer your question because it's a really great question that Stefan and I actually, we've talked about it here and there, but haven't actually had a full-on conversation about, hey, how do you manage your large audience and how do you still have time to live your life when, you know, you might be getting 50 to 100 DMs a day or comments or just things. And I think the first thing that we started off with to answer your question, Josh, is both of us have our notifications turned off, very off as possible.
Absolutely. So the less notification I can get, and my parents and my siblings will attest to that. I hate notifications. I even turn down notifications for my family just because it's every time my phone rings or buzzes, like it just gets me the attraction to turn on and look at it. And the less
I have my family on Do Not Disturb too, so don't worry.
There you go. Oh, I feel so much better right now. Maybe anyone else here listens to it and is like, oh, I actually felt bad about that too. Don't feel bad.
You have to protect your time.
That's okay.
Because yeah, like what you were saying.
Exactly.
When you get a notification, it's out of your control and it interrupts you and it's actually doing you a disservice. Unless you're on a deadline or you're expecting a call or you need to like be in constant communication with someone that way for some reason. There's really no reason to have the notifications on during the workday.
And that should be really an extreme situation. Like if your mm-hmm. spouse is in labor and you need to be ready to jump, like that's a good excuse to put your phone on, turn, like have notification on. But then again, if we look into how do you manage your community, your audience, I really need to say that it's impossible to respond to every message that I get. Mm-hmm. I was able to do that early on. Like you were excited to get a message, like the same way we are excited right now to answer the voice message from Josh. I believe that in some time we won't be able to listen to all the messages. We mm-hmm. hope that somebody will listen to all the messages so we can filter them out. But there probably is going to be a time where this won't be possible anymore. And so enjoy it while it lasts, while you can, and while you have the time for it. And don't spend your whole day just answering all the questions, trying to be the people pleaser, where you're just trying to please everyone else. But then the only one who's neglecting or who's losing doing that is yourself. And eventually everyone else, because you're not actually pursuing what you're really good at. You're not pursuing your art. You're not working on becoming any better, but spending all the time with your followers or like your community.
Weigh it out. Like what is bringing you joy? What feels good to do? What is helpful and useful too? Like there will be kind of this breaking point that everyone hits, like depending on your bandwidth and depending on your following and what you do and what you're offering. Especially for people like Stefan and I who offer like advice or inspiration, motivation, that kind of stuff, it's natural for us to then get questions about our processes and, help, I need your advice on this. But there will be a point that everyone reaches where the volume of messages or comments or interactions you're having is just too much. There was a point for me, I can tell a story where mm-hmm. It was right when I started Homework at the beginning of 2018. Wow. And the amount of engagement I was getting in terms of like, you know, featuring people asking about the challenge was a lot. It was my volume increased of how many messages I was getting and how many people were interacting with me. And I think one Sunday I spent 4 or 5 hours just sitting on the bed on my phone, like responding to messages, liking messages, like Instagram had introduced, you can double tap to like a message, send the heart. I have to be the one to respond to all these things because it's inauthentic if I don't, and I don't want people to hate me. I was being a people pleaser, like you were saying, of making mm-hmm. sure everyone knows mm-hmm. they're heard and gets a response from me. If Bill Gates was doing Microsoft customer service because he cared, it really, you wouldn't really, even if he cared, yeah. it doesn't make sense. But there are certain things, like mm-hmm. a message that's like, love your work, or like, what pen is that? Doesn't always make sense to respond to. And so, Josh, I would say for me, the methods I've used are instead of answering individual messages, I've tried to kind of flip it around and make videos or pages on my website, blog posts, that answer questions or that are a resource that I can then just send someone a link to, or my assistant can send someone a link to, where they get their question answered, they do get a response, but it's not necessarily me being like writing the message every single time. And then I did hire an assistant, my friend Jess, who's based in Arizona. We met when we were traveling. She helps me manage my Instagram comments and inbox. And so that's helpful to just have someone as a first filter of like, hey, this really needs your attention. Or she knows if someone asks like, hey, like I'm writing a paper, where'd you go to school? She can send them to an FAQ page. And so it just took a little bit of time to build those systems and to have, like Stefan would say, have enough data to even know what to make to help you, because it's going to be different for everybody. You're going to get different questions depending on what your medium is, what your expertise is, what you've positioned yourself as. When your audience starts to outgrow you as an individual and you doing everything yourself and responding to everything individually, you start to freak out and you start to feel inadequate, like you don't care, people are going to think you're mean. And then for me, there was a period of overwhelm and shut off where I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm just not going to respond to anything, to try to like calm down this anxiety of having to deal or having such an influx of questions and comments. And that only mm-hmm. lasted for, a month or so. And then I was like, okay, it's not helpful to just not do anything and ignore the problem. So let me figure out how I can feel comfortable asking for help and managing my Instagram, what feels good to me. you're not going to last if you don't have fun or at least get some satisfaction out of opening up the app and then being social or engaging or posting your stuff.
But yeah, so just to recap the answer, mm-hmm. don't be a people pleaser. You need to be yourself. You need to take care of or make sure that you are who you are and not try to be someone else. Turn off your notification is really important. But then more you get any questions, try to batch them, put them into a FAQ page or any service that you can provide to anyone who's following you. Exactly. And the bigger you grow, you can either get some other followers of yours, like multiply your followers into people who moderate your communications, who kind of like respond to comments, who have the same thing over and over. I thought of this one time, but if you cannot afford an assistant, then that's a great way to do that. You can also just outsource these kind of tasks. Like if that's not something that pleases you, again, it's not necessary. It's helpful to build a community. People enjoy getting answers, but it doesn't really doesn't need to be a necessity.
Yeah. Piggybacking off of that point of, giving people answers and batching up answers into blog posts or FAQ pages, it just will take a little bit of trial and error and time to collect all of that information too. And doing that honestly has really been a game changer, because I can make one blog post or one video that answers that question over and over again for lots of people. Yeah. And if someone has a question for you, like if one person has a question for you, chances are another person will have that same question down the road. So it's smart to start thinking in that way of paying attention to what are your most frequently asked questions, and can you make individual resources? Can you batch them all together in an FAQ page? So like I have an FAQ page. It's not linked on my website anywhere. Actually, maybe it is somewhere small, but oh yeah, it is. I realized I was getting an influx of emails. So this is kind of off of Instagram, but still communications. So I think it relates to your question, Josh. I was getting a lot of emails about students at high schools and universities wanting to write papers like about their favorite designers and wanting to know information about me for their paper. And the first maybe five, I would answer their questions. And then I realized that a lot of the questions were the same. You know, who's your biggest inspiration? Where'd you go to school? Any advice for young designers? When was your big break? All this kind of stuff. And I was just sending the same answers written up different ways. So I just compiled those all into a page. And now whenever I get one, I direct people to there. And I tell them, if you still have questions, feel free to email me. It might take me a while to get back to you. But yeah, I have trouble managing my email inbox the same way I do my Instagram inbox. There's so many channels of communication now. Text, emails, DMs.
That's why you definitely need to figure out like how to be efficient, how to deal with the information that comes in. Being okay not to be a people pleaser, because the people pleaser will try to answer everything as soon as possible. And then just like your priorities will shift. So we talked about that we're talking about this in another episode. But so learning from how to prioritize something right and how to set those expectations towards yourself and towards others. Like I won't answer to all DMs, because some DMs, I see sometimes DMs where I see like a response to everything that I've posted. And I have a couple of people who respond to everything that I share and post, which makes them to be one of the best fans ever, which makes it harder for me to say, like, as much as I appreciate how much you are sharing, how much you are excited about the work that I put out, you probably want to see more of my work. And right now, every time that I see a notification from you, I kind of like, I have this impulse and this urge to tap on those notifications just to get them away, because I really hate the red numbers on top of the icon. Like, it drives me nuts. And
you should see my email app icon.
I couldn't deal with it. I really have this urge on Instagram, and I don't know why you cannot turn this off. Like, I would love to turn off the numbers on top of the on the DM inbox.
That'd be great.
When they introduced the general and favorite inbox, I was super excited, because I was hoping for that you can move them into the other inbox and you wouldn't see the notification anymore on the top. Mm-hmm. You still see them. I'm still very angry at that. But again, I had to tell that person, like give some more space. Don't reply to every of my stories. Don't reply to every of my posts. As much as you are excited, like I love that, but I'll have to block you because it's distracting me so much.
Whoa.
And that's kind of the extreme measures. And I've had to do that once, but that was extreme.
Wow.
And I really hate to do that. Like it breaks my heart as much as probably it breaks theirs. And the thing is, but it's, if it helps me to create or if it distracts me to create, I have to take action. And so for anyone listening, if you see something like an influx, if you see something that's distracting you so much that you cannot work anymore, then you have to address it. Maybe you have to address it in a different way. Maybe you don't have to say that to the other person. Maybe you have to address it with yourself. But at the same time, it's hard sometimes to just really deal with it and go straight to the point and then even like confront that person, tell them like, you know what, you might not actually notice that you're distracting me. But I needed to tell you that because otherwise I'm going to be distracted and be open about it. And if we want to make it work, like there's always two sides, let's make it work. I really want to make it work. And so let's take it to the next stage. But
interesting. Yeah. I've heard so many different strategies. I've never, it's funny. I know it's extreme to block somebody, but yeah, I mean, some people I've heard if you have someone who's messaging you too much, you can just delete them from your main inbox where you've been responding. And so it'll go into the other inbox and then it can just, I know you don't like the number, but then at least it won't be read. Or you can read it without having it be marked as like seen. I don't know. It's, I really appreciate actually how upfront and honest that response is. I think a lot of people, myself included, would be so nervous saying that to somebody, but you know, everyone's work style is different. Everybody has a different community that they're like helping to facilitate. And at the end of the day, yeah, you got to do what works for you. And no matter how nice you are about anything, you're going to disappoint people on your own journey because you're not giving them what they want, but you don't exist to serve one singular person, even if they are a really big fan of your work. So I think you, as you grow your audience, you need to just pay attention to what is draining my energy, what is distracting me or sucking up more of my time than I want it to, and how do I fix that? What are the solutions that would make me feel good, or how can I deal with the problem rather than ignoring it? Like I said, when I first realized that my Instagram was like becoming a little too much for me personally to handle, I shut off for a little bit, and you might shut off too, and that is totally okay. Mm-hmm. Know that it's normal. But you will have to, you know, peek through your fingers again and be like, okay, let's deal with this. Let's clean up the mess. It's kind of like when you leave dishes in the sink and you just kind of hope they go away. They're just not going to go away. You just gotta fix it. And in the dish analogy, you know, either that means you have to do the dishes, or you hire someone to do the dishes for you, or you just stop using dishes altogether. You have one bowl, one fork, one plate.
And you just keep doing that one, only one that works. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But are there any other strategies that you've employed to be able to respond to comments, or does it feel like you're on your phone too much? Like, cause that's another factor of like, if you feel energized and good about being on your phone, responding, engaging, keep doing it. But if it ever starts feeling draining, that's when you kind of have to take pause, I suppose.
So one of the things that I've been doing lately is like trying to respond to all the comments and all the things that are coming in, and just comments on the post for the first hour or so. And like, I'm not going to be on the post during the whole hour, but like usually like for after like 10 minutes, going to respond to everything, right, after 30 minutes and after an hour, and then exponentially you will slow down. So that's kind of how that will work out. And so that kind of like incentivize anyone who wants to comment on my post, like they see, oh, he replies to comments, but also he will reply to comments in the first hour. I'll try to go back.
I've seen some people do that.
Yeah,
maybe. And they'll announce it. They'll say like, I'm in the comments right now.
Yeah, exactly. You can do that. There are like some tricks to kind of like build that incentive, like incentivize people to attract, like be there for the first hour or so, to have like turn post notification on.
That's true.
Then another thing that I do is like I will randomly go around in my DM requests and look through that if I see something interesting. But I only do that when I feel like I have time. Otherwise, I just disregard the inbox as, you know what, this is not my priority. My priorities are emails. So I'll always respond to emails and see what's in my inbox because I feel like that's the most important. That's the correct way to message me. And if someone important wants to message me through DMs, then he just needs to try it through another channel. So if I want to reach out to someone else, like in my course on social media, like getting to reach out to somebody, you just need to figure out some different approaches, not be obnoxious, but at the same time, still find like be okay with finding like different ways to request, like send them an email, figure out the right emails to send it to, and so forth. That's
true. Because some people I've seen on some people's pages, it'll just say no DMs, email only.
Yeah.
And that's one way to do it too. Like if you shut off and you're like, I do not want to deal with DMs. I do not enjoy like being on my phone. You could just say that, but as long as you set those expectations with your community, that's the important thing. And so if I were to go back, you know, and I had felt overwhelmed when I first started getting an influx of stuff, I could have done that. I could have just been like posted some stories, saved it in a highlight on my page, put it in my bio, like, you know, DMs are closed. Send me an email. Here's my email. One thing I was going to say, Stefan, that I personally use for my Instagram is Buffer Reply. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of that. You talked to me about that one.
Yeah, it aggregates your Facebook messages, comments, Twitter messages and comments, and Instagram comments. I don't know why they do not do Instagram messages, but the second they do, I am on it. I will pay good money for that. If anyone works at Buffer who's listening to that and you have a beta of that, please, please, please. But it lets me respond to all of my comments on desktop from one inbox, and I can assign different comments to my friend Jess if it's something that's more general, and then I can answer ones personally, and it all comes from my account. It's great.
So one thing I feel like it fits perfectly into this conversation, but I feel weird talking about it. It's kind of like becoming popular, becoming type of celebrity. Celebrity is not maybe the right word, but like famous in a sense. I don't know. Do you remember the first time that somebody approached you that you really didn't know and was like, oh, I love your work. I love like you and so on. Do you still remember that?
I don't think I remember the first time it happened, but it happens once in a while. It doesn't really happen that often, mostly because I'm always at home or in the studio, so I don't really leave. Yeah. It happened at the San Francisco airport a couple weeks ago, actually, which was funny. It doesn't feel that much different, but I do understand that, like, you know, when I was starting out, I totally fangirled over, you know, Jessica Hish, Martina Florida, Anna Tanamachi, those people, and I get it. It's nice to be on the receiving end of that because I remember what it was like to be on the other end of that, like being like, oh my gosh, just because you really love someone's work or they've inspired you. It's really, really great. I don't know if I remember the first one though, but I try to be at least in person. So my in-person techniques about like an audience, I guess, are different than online just because in person, there's always going to be a smaller volume.
So let me tell you, the reason why I bring this up is because the very first time this happened to me, and I like you don't get taught that in school. You don't have any classes on how to deal when you're famous.
What to do with fans. That's why it messes so many people up. So many celebrities like
exactly.
End up.
Like I cannot imagine that happening to someone who really like skyrockets. Like what happened to me is like the super, like I've had probably the nicest gradual improvement in size that I could manage or like the first time is probably the weirdest time, but because what happened, I was at an event and it was a church in Germany that I like to attend as well. And somebody came up to me. I really didn't know who it was. And just like, she came up to me, oh, you're Stefan. And you're like super excited. And I'm like, whoa. And that's why I remember it so strongly is because I was shocked at my own reaction, but I'm like, create this perimeter around me, just like with my arms showing, like moving around, like, hey, this is my space. Please leave me that space. And that's the first reaction I had. And I felt so terrible. And I was terrible. That was probably the worst way to react to anyone, like being excited to see someone else. And I only learned that later on. And I was glad that I heard a vlog with Casey Neistat. He talked about how he reacts to people. Mm-hmm. Like he has a lot of people like showing up every day, like, oh, you're Casey. Oh, and like, and he just tries to be really cool as he can mm-hmm. be, even though he's like, man, this is my time. Like, please, this is my way to work. I'm trying to just to get to work. Or like he's working and people are waiting in front of his office. And for me, that mm-hmm. first time was like so terrible that I told myself, I'm never going to do that again. I tried to learn from that and just to change that. And so now from now on, it's always like, I want to be excited because for anyone who approaches me, mm-hmm. it takes a lot of guts to yes. to say something. And I like the same way, you know it, I know it too. Like I know how it feels to get close to someone you really admire or you look up to. And then some people are just like obnoxious of like how they deal with it, like not how they deal with it from who they are, but more of the people don't take in account of that these people also have like a personal life and they don't need to be bothered at some points. Like if they're in dinner with their right. friends, don't bother them. It's not the best point. Like you're not going to make any friends or any plus points. If they're waiting on something, maybe you just say hi, like be casual about it.
Yeah, you got to kind of read the situation. Yeah. You're right.
But for me, it's always been really be open, be nice, and embrace mm-hmm. it, and like just do like be happy with them and be excited with them, because in the end, that's really what they are. They're like they're excited for you. They've been following your journey. They know a lot more about you. And the funny thing that I've had to learn over the time is just like introduce myself to people who already know who I am. But the only way to get to them to tell me who they are is usually by saying like, hey, I'm Stefan. It's like, I know. Well, it's like, no, what's your name? And I'm like, oh, okay, there we go. Perfect.
Yeah, no, just like you said, I know it takes so much courage to, because I'm actually pretty naturally like a shy person with people I don't know. So I remember not wanting to approach designers like at conferences that I was like, I had just started speaking and like, I was just like, oh, I don't want to bother them. Like, I don't know what I would even say. So I just wouldn't, but I know how much courage it takes to do that. So anytime anyone does, I try to be as gracious as possible. And like, I always will take a photo. I'll always stop the chat. For me, it's just like, if I'm in a rush or like I need to go somewhere, you know, you can just be polite about it and be like, hey, like, so great to meet you. Like I have to run, but like, you know, I'll see you around on the internet. Yeah. That's usually my like little sign off. But yeah, depending on where you are, the random ones can catch you off guard because you're not prepared for it. Whereas like at a conference, you like know people are gonna maybe come say hi or like notice you, especially if you have like a look or like some people show like photos of themselves on their own Instagram, like you and I. Some people are like really, really elusive and you don't really show your face much. So maybe then people don't come and say hi. But for people like you and I, and I generally do, like if it feels right for you or if it feels interesting for you, I generally do recommend showing your face and like being present on your social media to kind of form that connection. But at the same time, yeah, you got to do what feels good for you. When it catches me off guard, sometimes, usually, like you were saying, you hope the person can read the situation. And like, if I'm like furiously typing on my laptop, waiting at like an airport gate, probably not the best time to come up and like ask me life advice. If I'm, like you said, if you're just like chilling, like waiting, like, you know, in line for a hot dog or something, I don't know. It's time to say hi. I don't know. But you just have to read the situation.
Yeah, but even sometimes, like I've had encounters everywhere. Like I've been to in Singapore and suddenly like somewhere random, like mm-hmm. I just had like a short layover and somebody just came up to me and like, wait, are you Stefan? I'm like, yeah. Like right now it gets to a point where it's like, it's easily to see like, well, it's possible that somebody could know me anywhere. And not that I take that into like, ooh, I'm big, but more of the, you know what? I've had it happen at like really interesting and weird spots. Like I was in the middle of Oklahoma somewhere and in a cafe and somebody came up to me and like, are you doing the 30 days of Bible lettering challenge? And I'm like, yeah, I love your work. And it's like, Whoa, that I've never expected to meet someone here, but
yeah, it happens. That happened to me at a cafe in Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh City. Walk into a cafe to meet a friend to like do some work, and the waitress freaked out, and it was so cute. And like, I tore out a page of my sketchbook and let her keep it. Yeah. Like, I, you know, it's fun. I'm usually in the mood for that, because very rarely am I in public and like in a bad mood. Yeah. If I'm in a bad mood, I'm just going to stay home and no one can find me.
That is a good advice.
Yeah. But, you know, in person, that's definitely something that, like you said, no one teaches you how to, like, what do you do in those situations? Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, similar to online, you just have to be gracious and nice, but also, even if you say it nicely, be firm about, like, I need to, like, go somewhere else, or I need to like cut this short, or like whatever it may be. And a lot of times people are aware of, like, you know, if you're at a bar with some friends, they're not going to stand there and talk with you for half an hour. They just want to say hi.
Yeah.
Kind of the undercurrent or the theme of this episode is like, connect with people, be open, like give a lot, but not ever at the expense of your own sanity or time or happiness. It still needs to, if it feels good for you, keep on doing it. But when you start to feel that like anxiety or that like itch of like, then you need to just be respectful and nice, but set your boundaries where you got to set your boundaries. And it ties back to our first point that you like recapped of, don't please everybody. Yeah. You can't please everybody. It's not even possible. Like, you are, yes, when you freelance or run your own business, we talk about it like the boss, and you're also the art director, and you're also the customer service. You are all those things, but your full-time job, your main job description isn't customer service or like, you know, that department. Your main job is the boss and the creative director of your business. And so it comes back down to prioritizing. If Stefan and I stopped producing any artwork and just answered everyone's questions, that would only work for so long, because we need new work to post. But not only for that, I think that like making new stuff and being creative, like having new creative ideas and doing them, is necessary. Like, you and I would go crazy without making new stuff. And so make sure to set aside time for the stuff that you enjoy doing and that like fills you back up.
Exactly. And that's the way that I send out my DMs, is really, we'll see where it takes me. If they respond or not. Sometimes I've had some responses from people who are like, I never expect to get a response from. Right now I'm enjoying the feature that Instagram will allow to put DMs, like class DMs requests, into important and not important, or just like general. So
really, when you send one?
Well, if you look at your DM request inbox, you have like different...
Can I do it right now?
Yeah, well, I think you should be able.
Okay.
So you should be able to get in. You should be able to see important and all requests. And the important requests are they will go from in the sense of following ranking. So if you have a big following, you'll more likely to get a response from someone else, which is what I'm enjoying right now.
Interesting. I didn't know that. To recap, you know, it's just, you will learn as you go. Everyone's audience is different. Hopefully the tips Stefan and I shared are insightful. For anyone who's listening who doesn't even have a big audience yet, we hope that it's been helpful to kind of know what it's like on the other side. Because I think, yeah, when I was younger and my audience was smaller, you romanticize having this large audience. But yeah, at the end of the day, people follow you for your ideas and your art, and that's what they want to see more of. It's great if you can get to DMs, and that's kind of like the cherry on top, but you can't have the cherry on top of the ice cream sundae without the ice cream sundae. Otherwise you just have a sad cherry in a sad bowl all alone. And so bringing it back to food, your content and your art and your witty captions, whatever it is you do, that is your ice cream. And you've got to have the ice cream before you can put the cherry on the top. I'm hungry.
I'm starving. So Josh, you got a full episode from us right here. Thank you for asking that question.
It was a good topic. If you have questions, what Stefan said at the beginning, send them through the Anchor app. If the Anchor app isn't working, we'll open it up some other way. But we would love to hear your questions. We love chatting with each other about things that you're interested in.
And this is not just our podcast. Well, it is our podcast, but with ours, it's all of ours. It's not just us. It's you too. You're in the conversation. And so that's why we need your voice. We need to hear what you have to say. And we love to get more voice messages, get more good questions, even just feedback, even telling you stories of what you've learned from this podcast, and then how you could apply these things. Share us your stories, share us your messages, anything. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah. Oh, and share it with a friend who you think would like to sit in on these conversations. Because I remember when I was in school and I was starting out, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall, like in conversations like this, because I had no idea what I was doing. And it's nice to hear from people who are maybe 5 years, a couple years ahead of you, of like what it's like or what they're going through. Because chances are, you might not go through the exact same things, but you know, the creative journey is very similar with a lot of us. And maybe we go through different things at different times. But yeah, we would love, if you like this podcast and you probably have friends who are also creative who could benefit from hearing these things, we would love if you shared it with them. I hope they enjoy it too.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Striving Artist Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to share it on social media. It would help us a lot if you could also rate, review, and subscribe to the Striving Artist Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and or SoundCloud. This also helps us in ranking the show and would be greatly appreciated. We would love to hear from you via email, DM, or even voice message on Anchor. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.